Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
We get our kicks on Cast 66.
Wow. Going to the Wayback Machine for that.
Got to go to the Wayback Machine. If you don't, Mr. Peabody will be pissed. And he's a stern dude.
Yeah. Surprising for the name like that.
Well, they named an award after him, right? I assume that's what the award is named after.
I think so.
Quiet, you.
Why else would you get a Peabody?
you can pay for them in Vegas.
Yeah, you can.
Like, pretty cheap, actually. So,
I need a German accent for this week for an audition.
Oh, yeah. Like a happy, you're walking away. Oh, and he's walking away. I'm going to go with probably the happy provincial German accent or the stern, you're follow me to the ovens German accent.
No. The Philip K. Dick, Man in the High Tower, new Amazon TV series.
So like the doctor, German accent.
SS.
Yeah, the doctor, yeah. You come with me.
The access.
You will learn.
One, World War II.
Uh-huh.
East Coast controlled by Germans, West Coast by the Japanese.
Gotcha.
Sounds kind of cool.
So it's like Philip K. Dick. It's like Confederate States of America, but...
Yeah, maybe, sure.
Well, I mean, in that vein.
I don't know what that is, but...
It's if the South had won the war.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. We've had... Should we just jump into what we just did? Because I think it's
the
most fun. All right. So, a friend of Scott's, who I think we should probably remain nameless, got their computer hijacked and held hostage. Someone called, claiming to be Microsoft... saying,
well, to be fair, tech support, that was Microsoft certified.
Microsoft, wow. They weren't even confident enough to be Microsoft. Okay, cool.
Nope.
So Microsoft certified tech support, telling him that they were going to speed up his computer, do whatever kind of bullshit these assholes tell people.
Yeah.
And they locked him out of his own machine and wanted to charge him a ransom of anywhere from $200 to $400, depending on how long he wanted that ransom to last.
Yes.
So basically, you know, hey, we have locked down your machine. Give us money because we're fucking shitty scumbags. So went through, removed the password they put on the Windows 7 install, removed the shit software they installed. Lots of it.
Yes. Defragger.
Defragly.
Oh, defragly.
Yeah.
Nice.
Dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. Frag your cares away. Worries for another day. Fuck this guy in the A. I hate his fucking face. So this guy, whose name is Alex, apparently, and whose phone number is 315-407-1791, and who I do not encourage you to call and completely burn out his burner phone, because I guarantee you that's not an actual phone number. It's a burner phone he bought. But you know what? Fuck him. He can pay another $40.
Yeah.
Let's burn out those fucking minutes.
Everybody call.
Is not what I would encourage you to do. But let's make this phone number fucking useless. Is not what I would encourage you to do. That phone number, again, you should not use, is 315-407-1791. So this fucking piece of human shit, just human refuse, locks this guy out of his machine, charges him to get back in. So anyway, we remove the password. Everything's fine now. But what a fucking pile of crap that guy is.
Yeah. And then I call them back.
Yeah, and you were told to fuck off.
So my friend calls me and says, I did a stupid thing, and he explains it to me right when I'm about to go on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this was Friday that this happened.
And I would say if you're not going to call this number, you shouldn't do it through a Google Voice account.
Right, yeah. Or a payphone. Or,
yes.
Well, you don't want to do it through a payphone.
No, don't do it through a payphone. But
yeah.
Definitely don't do it through a Google Voice account that's easy to, you know, get and put on fucking redial.
Yeah.
Don't do that at all.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Note to self, don't do that later.
I won't be doing it myself a few times tonight.
So I talk with him, and I'm like, okay, once again, who's your IT guy? And why are you talking to someone who called you that says, hey, we notice on your machine that you have a lot of malware and some... Yeah, I've been getting a lot of spam lately. Really?
Hooked.
Wow. Who hasn't gotten a lot of spam lately?
Right.
So he calls me. I said, there's nothing I can do. I'm down in Olympia doing a show. I will pick up the machine on Sunday on my way back north. Stopped at the house. He's very, I'm sorry. His wife's very, I told you. Scott, do something about his future. And I said, okay. So he gives me the phone number, and he gives me the websites.
Mm-hmm.
I would also not recommend going to wintech365.com. That would be a WINTECH365.com. Or, they're sophisticated, the new and improved website is win31.com. Don't call the 800 numbers, because they go to a lovely person down in the South States who has a home security business, who's had his 800 number hijacked on various websites over twice now.
So definitely don't add that.
Do not call the 866 number. Yeah, that is not the scumbag's phone number. It is a very lovely gentleman who has owned that number for 10 years.
Yes.
We had a lovely conversation on the phone. So he looked at the website, and they all look legitimate, and all the pricing is the same as what they're quoting him. So, oh, by the way, we only accept payment through, wait for it, Western Union.
Hey!
Oh, it won't work electronically? You'll have to go down to the local Western Union and have them send us the money.
Luckily, that did not happen.
No, it did not.
So I called them. Yeah.
And I'm like, hi. The first thing that happens is I call and they go, your money will be returned on Monday. Click. I'm like,
tell Jabba I'll have his money.
I'm calling from my cell phone. They don't know who I am. I call back and I'm like, hey, it's great that I'm going to have money on Monday. But who are you sending it to? Because I don't know. Click. Tried the 800 number, got the lovely gentleman down south, called back, got a different guy, said, hey, so you got my friend's computer. Oh, yeah, I remember that. And I'm not going to attempt the accent that I heard, but it was not anywhere in the North American hemisphere natively spoken. And he proceeded to tell me how much time and effort he'd spend in on servicing my friend's computer and installing all of this great software that was going to make his life easier. And I said, look, I just want the password so that we can move on because we're not sending you any money. And he's like, well, then fuck you, and hung up the phone. And I got that response the next three times I called.
Yeah. So again, definitely do not clog this fucker's lines.
It was a 315 area code, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So yeah. East Coast time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now's calling, a great time to call.
Yeah. Start calling that
to
shit.
To not call.
To call, right.
Or not call, or however you choose to
exactly.
So proceed.
Or set up your Google Voice redial to start at
just 2 a.m. Just saying. Google Voice has a lovely open API. So you can do all sorts of things. Like, say, I don't know, Stephen Hawking style, AT&T Voice Labs, pre-recorded messages that you can play into this phone and just have a great old time with.
But we're not suggesting you
do that. We're not suggesting you do that in any way.
But we are.
Please don't. How else was your week, Scott?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Had some good houses with Middletown.
Yeah.
Had a different audition for The Man in the High Castle than what I'm getting called back for this week, where I wouldn't have to have a German accent.
Okay.
So I don't know. The other one I did 3 weeks ago, I'm getting a call back for now. And the one that I did this week, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a long weekend.
Yeah.
And got one more. So all of you people in depth who were supposed to come out and support me in mass, except for Adrian, because you're in New York. Sorry, I don't want to say that state. You're in New Jersey.
You're in
Toronto. No, you're not even in New Jersey. You're in Pennsylvania. What am I talking about?
Wow, you're way off.
I'm way off.
Well, but not really way off.
Yeah, he's in the Poconos. It could have been New Jersey.
Gotcha.
Right?
Sure.
Don't they go in there? The Borscht Belt.
The Borscht.
Is that right?
Beats me.
So yeah. 3 days left. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 8 p.m. shows. Olympia.
Gotcha.
Best show you've never heard of.
Olympia. That's not going to come
not
up
just
here.
A beer.
Huh? Not going to come up here.
No, it's not traveling.
Well,
it's,
shit.
It's down there. But I can get you discounted tickets.
Can you get me a ride and back? That would be the discounted tickets. I don't give a fuck about. It's this guy getting down there.
Mm.
So,
talk to Brian. He's supposed to come see the show.
Oh, so now I just only have to get to Puyallup. Awesome.
Well, yeah, because I stay down in Olympia when I go down, so we don't come back up.
I hear you. Oy. It's Olympia's just far.
We'll try and figure it out.
Yeah,
Maybe Thursday.
I need to give Christian his laptop anyway.
Which one? The one I gave him or
no,
a new one?
No, the one you... We'll talk when you're older. You've heard the story about the one you gave him?
Nope.
Oh, so a new one.
Oh.
Yeah, the one you gave him got parted out in that when it hit the pavement, all the parts came out. So.
Seriously?
Yeah, well.
This is why I don't give people nice things.
Yeah, I know. So, a new one. It's actually not his directly. He's using it. But yeah, I set that all up. Really?
Did you duct tape all the parts together so that it didn't part out?
Should have. It's an interesting, actually. It was $230 or $240 on Amazon. Hmm. And it's a Celeron.
Yeah.
But it's got 4 gigs of RAM, 500 gig hard drive, Windows 8.1.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, so it's a dual core. It's not the fastest thing on the block, but it fucking gets the job done. It can run, you know, all the shit he needs to run.
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah, pretty spiff for nice. $240.
Yeah.
So. So
get some USB cables, some superfood, and a car adapter.
We could just tape all that to the laptop.
Yeah.
All right.
There we go.
So my weeks, because it's two now.
Is it? Oh.
Yeah, we didn't broadcast last week.
Right.
So obviously work, fucking work.
Yeah.
Two super secret projects now.
Ooh.
So keep your ears to the sky and your face to the grind. I don't know. Don't do that. That's probably it'll scar.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of them is coming out very soon, and in fact, there's some hinting about it. I've been going on the Dead Gentleman page, so keep your eyes on that prize because I think you're going to like it. Two, can't talk about it all. Secondary project, Strowlers, did some work for that.
Nice.
It was. If you're going to ask somebody to grab sub clips, you should probably send them the actual edit file so they can get the appropriate subclip.
Yeah.
Not just give them timelines that have no basis whatsoever in the original clips.
Yeah.
So that was fun, but got it figured out finally. Got the subclips off to the special effects artist. He hasn't downloaded them yet. I'm a little concerned about that, but whatever, not my problem. Went to Idaho.
Yes, you did.
Never fun. Always fun to be with the kids. The drive is never fun.
Getting there and the getting back is never fun.
Oh, so much sitting for 8 hours straight in a car. A bumpy one, too.
But the ride back seemed to not be as sucky as...
The ride back wasn't too bad. I mean, it was Labor Day weekend, so it was a little... You know, it was about an extra 45 minutes probably of drive time. We left a little later because if we hadn't, we
would have been.
It would
hours.
Have been. We would have gotten home at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
Only we would have left earlier. It was okay. As far as drives go, prefer not doing it, but you know, bought my daughter a laptop, similar to the one that Christian's getting, only one little step up because it was on sale for $30 more for an i3 version.
Wow.
Yeah, so pretty slick. Fixed my son's Surface. He was pretty happy about that. Hung out, you know, played games, just did this kind of stuff you do when you go visit your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron and Abby went ice skating. Aaron asked me why...
In Idaho?
Yeah, they have an ice rink, a year-round ice rink. Aaron asked me why I didn't go ice skating. I laughed maniacally for about 15 minutes. See, okay, if you guys know physics, you know that ice skating isn't actually ice skating. It's water skating. Because a very, very thin layer of water gets produced by the pressure that the skates cause on the surface of the ice. Now, that pressure, right, over the same area, the same surface area on the bottom of the skate, if you are, say, a big fatty, that pressure goes up and the friction goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, me on ice skates, I am a rocket in one direction. The end.
You're a frictionless freight train.
Yes, yes. And, you know, when I
bullet
fall...
Bullet train, that's what I wanted.
When I fall, it's with much more velocity.
And speed.
Because it's the gravitational constant times 9.81 meters per second per second times mass. Right? So,
yeah.
My velocity... And then that's not accounting for air resistance, which at that level isn't too much. So
no.
Could be wearing a nice members only jacket or something like that. Maybe break the fall a little bit. I don't fucking ice skate is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, me neither. A, way too much thigh work.
Oh, so much thigh.
Just, I mean, see, I'm like you.
Yeah.
Push me in one direction. I will go from one gate all the way down to the other gate.
And then you'll play some Donkey Kong.
And then I'll play some Donkey Kong.
Hell
and then
yes.
I'll get back on. Someone pushes me.
Mm-hmm.
I go all the way back to the other side.
Yeah.
But ask me to turn?
No.
No.
See, and I do okay roller skating.
Yes.
Okay roller. I don't like doing it very much because it's
now,
still
inline or classic roller skating?
Dude, inline hurts my fucking feet like nobody's business. I don't know why. I think it has to do with where my balance is on top of the inline. So like maybe if they moved those out a little bit from center, they wouldn't hurt so bad. But given how they are, they hurt. Like the bottoms of my feet just ache. And it's not my calves. It's not my ankles.
Really?
It's not the stuff that normally aches. It's like... where my arch would be if I had arches.
Oh, yes.
Fucking just, oh, so much pain.
Yeah.
So I don't like inline. I like the four-wheel roller skating.
Me too.
Well, I don't like it, but I will tolerate it.
Truck and trail. Lure.
Fuck ice skating.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that was
leave
my
that thing. For Brian Boitano.
What would he do?
Skate.
Make a plan and follow through. That's what Brian
Boitano
would do.
He'd do a triple axel.
And a sow cow while wearing a blindfold. Yeah,
look them up. They're real terms, not that we know that.
Well, no, I know it from South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
Oh.
What would Brian Boitano do if he were here today? He'd make a plan and follow through. That's what Brian Boitano would do. Really? No?
I mean, yes, but I actually watched the Olympics that he was in, and so I was
referring to
the Hamel Camel and the...
Right, right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, triple axel.
South Cow, good.
Yeah, triple axel, heel out. What's the... Is it just called icing when they do the little slide? But that's in hockey.
No, icing is a...
Well, there's icing the pug, like you know that. But there's when you do the
when you shush,
but like into the eyes of your opponents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same thing that I do on skis, right before they continue to go
skiing,
in a direction.
Skiing again, very similar principle.
Yeah,
you're not skiing on snow. You're skiing on a very thin layer of water. That is thicker, the thicker you are.
And so. And it's more like water skiing because at least the skis are wider than the 1/16th inch of skate.
Did I ever tell you the story about the first and last time I went snow skiing?
No.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Two Bards Story Time with Andy Dobrowski.
Why don't you go ahead and pull yourself up a chair and a cup of hot cocoa while I tell you about a cold, blustery winter's eve. See, I was stupid, or as they called it the day, really stupid, and I fucking went skiing in a leather jacket, suede leather jacket, jeans,
And I had no gloves, so I wore leather welding gloves. Moist.
Oh, I want to have seen this.
Moist is a good term for what I was.
Yeah.
Because surprisingly, still hot inside all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Covered in frozen, like frozen on the outside, wet on the inside, melted snow. I don't know what the word for that is.
Hot pocket.
Water. So, yeah, I basically started on the Bonnie Hill, no problem. No problem at all. Went up the first big hill that had a rope tow. Right on the rope tow. Just fell and drug for probably 60 yards. Didn't let go. Nope.
Oh, I thought maybe your glove got stuck.
That would be a smart thing.
I was giving you the benefit
of that. No, okay. I was an idiot. No. So, of course, now my leather suede leather jacket is full of snow.
Mm-hmm.
Full of snow. Not for very long. Soon it became water.
Water.
My jean pants, of course, at this point are stiff and still wet. And I can feel the burning in my legs. So at least, I mean, I had real snow boots, right? Because at least, you know, I mean, you have to have them for the skis.
For the skis.
Right. So I rented real ski boots. Just standard sweat socks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not wool socks. Not anything with waterproofing. No, just sweat socks. Nope. Boots full of snow, obviously. So got up, went down the hill. No problems. No problems going down the hill. Did fine. tips together kind of thing. Make the pizza. So I was like, okay, well, fuck the rope toe. Not doing that again.
No.
You know? Go over to the lift. Oh, fuck the lift. Okay?
Okay, hold it. Just a sec.
Got on
was,
the...
Was this a two-seater chairlift?
It's a two-seater.
Or a three-seater?
It was a two-seater.
Okay, so you avoided the pole in the middle.
So I did. So my friend gets on next to me and she's like, "Oh, okay, just so I'm on the lift." I'm like, "No problems." Oh, good. This is way easier than the rope toe. Nobody told me how to get off the lift. Right on my face. Okay. So got up. Now so soaking wet, so very, very, but crusty and white on the outside because of the ice. I go down the hill, no problems. Right. Shooshing down, slaloming, doing all that jazz. Not on purpose, but because I was freezing to death inside and my muscles were just twitching. So I'm carving this beautiful, beautiful serpentine into the mountain based solely on the fact that I'm getting hypothermia at this point. Hit the bottom, kick right out of the boots, and walk straight to the lodge. Did not come out again. I didn't even return my skis. My friends had to return my skis. I said, fuck you, I'm done. And that is the last time I ever skied. So
the moral of the story, kid, is don't wear suede to go downhill shushing.
Oh my God, I looked like the plumpest cross between Indiana Jones and Uncle Jesse, shooshing down that fucking mountain.
I used to go skiing. They'd have the high school trip,
mm-hmm.
and then went a couple times with my scout troop, and we had a young kid, and we'd been riding the triple chairs mm-hmm. all day. And he looks like he should have gotten a Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas in the 80s.
Nice.
And he turns around. We finally go up to a double chairlift, and he plants himself right in the middle, turns around, throws his hand back to grab the back of the chair rest
right.
to set himself down. Just missed the pole. So it comes, he turns around, hits it with the glasses.
Of course.
And his face. Grabs on, and it lifts him up. And instead of just immediately, when he's 3 feet off the ground, letting go, he just hung on to that baby.
All the way up.
No, because the chair operator stopped the lift.
Uh-huh.
But now he's about 15 feet up. Now, granted, this is Mount Bachelor, and there's a whole thing of powder underneath.
Right.
So
right.
he's okay.
He's not gonna die.
He's not gonna die.
He might
die.
Break something.
But we could not convince him to let go, and I think finally gravity, tiredness, and everything uh-huh. is what finally dropped him, and then he had a blast because he was, you know, in this huge thing of powder and he
right.
couldn't get out, and that was fun.
Yeah.
But I did the last scout trip that I did, we went up at Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
I went up the chairlift once. came down the hill, turned around to see where everybody was behind me. Because I was good, I could ski backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Except that I did not see the mogul. So now I'm doing a jump backwards down a hill. Mm-hmm. Aerodynamically well. If I'd had the tips pointed down, it mm-hmm. would have been a great landing, but I didn't. So I just had blunt edges that went straight into the snow. Right leg snaps out of the binding like it's supposed to. Left leg just snaps. And...
Your leg broke, or...
That's what I thought happened, because it did not come out of
right.
the thing. It reefed back. I tumbled, landed, immediately felt like that boot turned into a Barbie doll boot.
Right, with
immense swelling. Pressure. I was nauseous. I was just like, that has to come off, and this is broken. This is horribly, horribly gone wrong. They get ski patrol down. I get in the sled. I'm closing my eyes because I'm like, the minute I open my eyes, I'm going to see someone that I know.
Uh-huh.
And I thought we were close to the first aid shack. So I open my eyes and what do I see? Four guys from the scout troop. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have cell phones back then. So they had the pocket cameras and they're chasing after me. And I'm just like, go, go. And the medic skiing finally got me in. They said no pictures and threw the guys out. But yeah, so it was... Back in the day, a lot of money. I think it was a $35 lift ticket. I got half a run in.
Uh-huh.
Sat in the lodge. Iced it down. Elevated it. It's not broken. Everything was fine. They released me. I said, okay, I'm going to go back out. And mm-hmm. I'm just going to test it out. We'll go up the bunny slope.
Mm-hmm.
The little T-bar. Go up. Everything's fine. In a huge flat area.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone around me, eight people. All of a sudden, I hear, "Oh no!" Foof! Some lady comes in, falls down, kicks her legs up, skis catch me behind my knees, pull me down, whack my knee into the razor edge of the other ski, and I'm done.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't. I now have to hobble down off the bunny slope after. Yeah. Wow. So I think that was the last time that I skied.
Yeah. So fuck skiing and everything about it.
Yes.
So this weekend.
We're going skiing?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, this past weekend that we are still kind of on the
kind of in. Yes.
Let's see. On Friday, I did something. Oh, on Friday, I hung out with Jesse Keeter.
Yes. Very forgettable. I mean, memorable. No, I know. I mean...
Yeah. Well, we played some Mario Kart. We watched some Twitch because that's a thing to do. Watch some Twitch TV. Talked a lot. Twitch is watching other people play video games, which is actually kind of nice. Like I was like, why would you watch other people play? Oh, because I hate this game, but it's fun to look at. That's why you do.
Okay. Yeah.
Like League of Legends, man. I do not fundamentally understand that shit. It's a lot of clicking and fast typing, and it seems like people get very angry while playing it. But it's fun to watch on Twitch because it's pretty.
Okay.
So we did that, played some Mario Kart. Jesse went home. This was after a meeting for, ready for it, drumroll, ZoeCon, that you couldn't go to, obviously, because you were in Middletown.
Yeah.
But we made a lot of progress on ZoeCon 2, which is probably going to be ZoeCon 1. The other one's going to be ZoeCon 0 or ZoeCon Alpha. It wasn't a real con. It was a filming event.
Is it because it wasn't a real con, or is it because we don't have access to the artwork and we can't change it from ZoeCon 1?
We don't want the artwork. I want to change the artwork.
I know.
But that's beside the point. I mean, we could have feasibly just called it ZoeCon 2014, which I think we should do anyway. Just use the fucking year.
Yeah.
Okay, so ZoeCon 2014. We're looking at some stuff to plan, going through what we have, looking at the layout. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of work on our end.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a lot of fun. And Derek sort of came in and owned it the right way, where he's like, here's the thing. I own putting this con on. Period. You own telling me what you think we should do. I will tell you, yes, awesome. Or I don't think we should because of this. You will tell me, I don't care, we're going to do it, and we will do it. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. That is the perfect way, because he can totally take all of the crap that comes with running a con. I am happy for him to take that bullet. But he basically said, you know, you guys know your fans. I don't know your fans. You tell me what to put on and we will put it on. I will tell you if we shouldn't, if we can't legally, things like that. But it's not a nation of no.
Right.
It's not, you know, the grand duchy of no. So grand barony, I guess.
That's good to hear.
It is great to hear. Obviously, Brian Lewis had to pop out early because it was Tiff's birthday. Happy birthday, Tiff.
Happy birthday, Tiff.
And, yeah, so we got quite a bit figured out in terms of logistics, but not a lot figured out in terms of content. So I will tell you that we have a lot of great ideas. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're planning on doing some AFK type things beforehand.
When is it again? November?
It's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
13th?
That sounds right.
Okay.
I don't know. The weekend before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So, you know, obviously if you have not yet and you want to join us at the con, which is going to be awesome, please, please go to zoecon.net. Zoecon.net. You can buy tickets there. There's information on how to book a hotel. We have a block of rooms that get you a special discount.
Excellent.
Those rooms are literally what help us pay for the event.
Yeah.
So book a room, get your tickets. Come on, let's get this going. So it is expensive to put on a con. So the more we sell, the more we book, the better.
Yeah.
And also feel free to send us ideas that you guys have.
Yes, please.
I would be more than happy to entertain those. We've already got ideas coming in from, John Palms has, he wants to do some LARP events.
Mm-hmm.
We've got screening requests coming in from people. Nick Plants has talked about potentially spinning a little bit.
Nice.
We definitely need his PA.
Yeah.
Because the hotel, they charge all of the money.
Oh, yeah, they do.
So, yeah, send us your ideas. We'll definitely bring them to the table. No idea is stupid unless it's a stupid one.
Exactly.
So, and then today, Saturday's a blur. Saturday was the first time Aaron and I have had to just decompress. It was shitty, just the shittiest TV. The worst fucking TV. And no offense to people who love it, American Horror Story is terrible. And I'm going to keep watching it. It is awful, and I can't not finish it. But yeah, we're going to bust through that and some other things. But we've just been watching just awful stuff. Today, we went to Elba, Washington, and rode the...
Elba?
Elba. E-L-B-E.
Oh, out Rainier.
As in, like, you don't know your ASA from...
From my Elba, yeah.
Yeah. Rode the steam tour, which I thought was a steam tour of the Rainier Valley. It turns out it's a steam tour of a logging town called Mineral.
Yes.
Which isn't even a town. It's just a museum now.
Mm-hmm.
So, went out to the museum. That part, I could have done without. The train ride was a lot of fun. Didn't really care for the little logging town. Got some good pictures, though. But, yeah, the train itself, pretty fun. I'd love to do it in the winter, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of snow activity I need. One where I just sit down the whole time and someone else goes shooshing somewhere.
Yes.
But yeah, fun little town. Weird pizza. Like, we stopped for pizza there and it was like a high school cafeteria kind of thing
going on. Great.
But yeah, that was fun. You know, just drove around all day. Came back here and dealt with Alex, who you should not call.
Nope, not at all.
Not under...
Go back and listen to the first 5 minutes.
Go back and listen to the first
5 minutes. And I forgot a couple things. A,
mm-hmm.
Go Hawks! 36-16. We're 1-0.
Are those Bible verses? Seahawks. I guess for you they are.
Yes, they are. We kicked the ever-living shit out of the cheese-headed Green Bay Pack Fucks.
Whoa, buddy.
36-16. Oh, no, it gets better.
Oh, Kevin's going to cry if he listens to this.
Because our show, our show compatriot, our show diligent listener,
The Brof.
The Brof. Thomas Brophy.
A. Brophy.
A. Thomas A. Brophy.
I don't know if it's related. I think it's
I was going to say he's A. Bro.
A. Bro. He is a bro.
A bro. Thomas A. Brophy.
A Brophy.
That's
abbreviated.
I'm just going to say this once. Okay, so he spent money this weekend to go to the Cowboys home opener against the San Francisco 49ers and has been talking smack, and he and Jen Yost and I are going to the Cowboys Seahawks game in 3 weeks, October the 12th. Be ready, because Tom is going to be laid dead in a coffin.
I take it he's a Cowboys fan then.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. And he tries to say he's one of the 12s. And for those of you who don't know, it's the 12th man, the true Seahawks fans.
Now, isn't the 12th man actually from Texas A&M?
No.
And we co-opted it?
Nope. 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 They like to say that. It's not true.
Well, let me check Wikipedia.
Because the 12th man has been going on way longer than Texas A&M.
All right.
So it's like, you know, trying to whatever. Anyway, not going to go there. But we have a 12th man flag. We have 12 everything. Anyway,
well, you have a flag, and that
we
is...
We do. And it flies from the Space Needle, and people raise it every game. But Brophy likes to say, when we won the Super Bowl last year, and he was, you know, yay Seahawks! He's wearing a Sherman jersey and everything, and Jen and I are like, you're not a 12. You might be a Seahawks fan. Because 15 of the 16 games, you're rooting for the Seahawks. But when it comes down to the Seahawks playing the Cowboys, which happens every year, you're a Cowboys fan. You've never lived in Dallas, you stupid fuck. And I say this to Brophy's face all the time. Go check the Facebook feeds. We've been going back and forth today because they got shellacked. Tony Romo had 10 passes, 3 interceptions. And one incomplete pass. It was atrocious. They just imploded. Their stadium looks like a football. And I asked Tom, do they know what this thing is that their stadium is shaped like? Because they can't do anything with the actual physical ball except turn it over to the opposing team.
Seattle Seahawks go ballistic. Dallas was atrocious.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's
it, Tom. I love you. But, dude, you're, October the 12th, you're just, you might just want to sell your ticket. Might just not want to be there.
I'm just going to tell you straight up right now. Your shirt accurately depicts what I just heard.
Which is the Alex Lifeson acceptance
speech. Alex Lifeson acceptance, blah, 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 fuba, 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 fuba. Ta-da, football. That's what I heard. I feel bad because a doctorate in the English language, someone who has studied linguistics his entire life, diction to be just the end all, could come up and say exactly what you said to me, and it would sound like, hey, would you like to talk about some football? Because I would like, how many footballs can I tell my boss, Mr. Anderson, I can put you down for? How am your football today? That's a lot of football. You are doing a lot. How many football did you do? That is many football.
Okay.
I don't understand. What is there something in the corner?
There was one of those mosquito flies.
Crane fly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, don't fuck with me, because I just saw The Conjuring.
It's right there.
Okay, I see that. That's not scary. The Conjuring's fucking scary.
Yeah, but it was huge right over your head. But I was like, what? Your hair is doing... Oh, no, it's not your hair. Okay.
You're like a Japanese girl, like right before shit gets serious, just looking at a fucking corner. I don't like this. All right.
Thank you for finishing that sentence.
Yeah.
Should we get to questions? Are we brought up on the week?
I think...
After my shit talking...
Oh, there is one more thing I want to talk about.
Oh, okay. Let's do that.
Coming up shortly, this is my football.
It's fucking hot in here.
Ready? Here's my football.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Coming up shortly, a game is coming out. A game that I am super, super excited, like rock hard in three places about this game.
Pong.
Close.
Okay.
Hyrule Warriors. It is a combination, a marriage, if you will, of Zelda. The Legend of Zelda, yes. Right? You
heard
Ocarina
of
Time and Majora's Mask, like all of these, and Dynasty Warriors, which is a huge battle game where Chinese, fictionalized historical figures from Chinese dynasties fight just enormous onslaughts of people, just tons of people, wave after wave.
Is it like the Kickfighter game, the two?
So it's, you have some type of weapon, you go out, pools of people come in, and you hit a button, and pools of people fly away.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Really cool. Yeah, it's just like, it's a hack and slashy sort of thing. They're taking that template, and they are applying it to Zelda, where you have tons and tons of Octoroks, or like all of these classic Zelda bad guys, you know, little Deku assholes or whatever, and you go out and you just slash the shit out of them with Link or Zelda, or like tons of the other like characters, and it looks like it's just going to be great. You can even, like, Ganondorf is even playable in this thing, which means nothing to you, I know that.
Ganondorf?
Ganondorf.
Wow. Are you shitting me?
Of the Adirondack Ganondorfs. So he this is a really cool thing to me. Like, this is just gonna
what
be
platform?
Wii U.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which now has like a bunch of my favorite games on it. You know, it's Mario Kart 8 is solid. It is a fun game. It is as fun to me as the old Super Nintendo Mario Kart was. Mm-hmm. There haven't been a lot of games that I can say that about. So, including in the Mario Kart
game.
Yeah, Mario Kart Double Dash, hated it. Anything on the 64, really hated it. Double Dash actually was for the GameCube, I think. The first 64 Mario Kart was okay. It was pretty good. I mean, it's like in the top three. But yeah, so Mario Kart 8, kick ass. We've got, you know, new Smash Brothers coming out, all that stuff. It's finally becoming a console worth owning.
Nice.
And also Minecraft's out on Xbox One. Just a quick plug. It's a fun game. Like, I mean, it's Minecraft. It's exactly what you think it is.
Yeah.
But Hyrule fucking Warriors, man.
Spell it. Spell the first part. No, don't hum.
H-Y-R... U-L-E Warriors.
Hyrule.
Hyrule.
Okay, I thought you were saying Hyrule.
Hyrule.
And then I was like, yeah, please spell that.
Yeah, yeah. So Hyrule Warriors, check it out. We're definitely grabbing it and playing it in my house. So
sweet.
Maybe I'll release my Miiverse code or whatever. I don't know. I don't do much multiplayer on the Wii. It's great. You don't have to.
I thought you were going to talk about Trickster recording or whatever, your trashy things.
Twitch,
that's it.
Twitch streamster.
Yeah.
Twitcher.
Gonna Twitch some Hyrule Warriors.
I'm probably going to Twitch while I play Hyrule Warriors. That's
okay.
True.
There we go. Paula Moran writes, in no particular order, because I can't remember which one was first, do you have any favorite Seattle locations to suggest for visiting for anyone trying to make it up for topically covered ZoeCon?
I do. Given where the Crown Plaza is,
mm-hmm.
Highly recommend Raygun Lounge,
yep.
which is an offshoot of Raygun Games. Fun little spot. If you are vegetarian or vegan, Cyber Dogs, which is close to sort of the convention center that we are not in.
Right.
I don't want to pretend like, yeah. But yeah, so Cyber Dogs, a lot of fun. Podogs, if you are not vegan. Well, actually, no, they do field roast dogs too. But yeah, Podogs.
So, yeah.
Podogs is very good.
Podogs is a bit of a hike, isn't
and
it?
And it's a hike.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be a hike because if you're downtown, you are a good chunk of walking to Capitol Hill, which is where a lot of stuff's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You're a good chunk of walking to South Lake Union. You're a good chunk of walking to most
Belltown.
Downtown itself doesn't have a ton of my favorite places.
Yeah, not attraction. I mean, there's GameWorks and Cheesecake Factory, and I mean,
yeah.
it's the touristy hub.
Yeah, GameWorks is worth a checkout.
Yeah,
definitely go try out GameWorks. Get an hour long card. Don't pay for like points on the card. Get the unlimited play for an hour. Much better deal. And I think if you go eat at GameWorks, they have a number of menu items that come with a free hour play card.
Oh, nice.
So do that. You know, hook that up. Cheesecake Factory nobody cares about.
Yeah.
Because seriously, everybody has one. I have seen religions with shorter Bibles than their menu.
Yeah, I know.
It's like a fucking tax document. It just goes on and on. It's like,
oh.
Would you like to order? Did you fill out your I-7? You're gonna have a salad? Oh well, no. See, your condiment deductions over here don't add up. It's too much. It's too much work.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were saying you were.
Blue Sea Sushi's over there. That's a good place to go for sushi.
It's a good place. Conveyor belt, right?
I believe,
or it used
yeah,
to be
yeah.
anyway, yeah. Okay, Conveyor Belt Sushi. Yeah. It's okay. It's not my favorite place. It's definitely a good
Well, no,
place.
But downtown, it's affordable, right. And it's good food, and it's
but
semi-healthy.
I'm saying get a Lyft or an Uber or a cab or a bus.
Yeah.
Get your ass up to Capitol Hill. You gotta eat at Dick's if you're coming to Seattle.
Yeah, you do.
I mean,
you gotta go to Pike Place Market.
You gotta go to Pike Place.
And that's an easy hike.
That's a super easy hike. And if you're in Pike Place Market, try the brewery. Pretty good food there.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some good stuff.
Beechers.
Piroshki.
Yes.
Highly recommended.
Both on the same block.
Yeah. Go to the first Starbucks.
Yep.
Which is right there. It's, you know, I mean, lots of people. That's where Spoon Man used to hang out. Spoon Man. Plus,
by Soundgarden, who happened to play the opening
I heard.
Concert for the Seahawks
game. Well, it was them and someone.
Pharrell.
Happy. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, like Pike Place is definitely good. Do you remember the name of that? There's like a street taco place, but it's a building. It's not like a Roach Coach or anything like that. It's a little like El Bacho.
Oh.
Bacho.
Yeah, that Buket little hole in the wall.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Something with a B. Baccio? But no, that doesn't sound right.
It's
anyway, there's
we'll figure it out and
yeah. I'm sure Seth will, from that, he'll probably have every piece of information on it before we even go look it up. So,
yes, but I think that's a good suggestion that we should make to people listening who might have some influence of the ZoeCon thing is to put something like that on the website.
That actually would be a great idea. If you get up to Capitol Hill though, Vivace Coffee must. Well, I think even if you're in the downtown area, at the bottom of Denny Hill, there's a Vivace. There's a Lunchbox Labs. It's not too bad a hike.
Right by REI.
Of course, downtown, you've got the waterfront. You've got the original Ivers. I don't think you any longer have the original Red Robin. I think they closed that, which is sad.
Yeah, but you got Pier 51.
Pier 51.
You got what's his name's, Abercrombie's, Oddities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Argosy
Cruise?
No, the Oddities place.
Oh, I don't remember. Ripley's, believe it. No, it's not.
No.
It's just
like
a,
RP McQuarrie or something.
Yeah, something like
that.
And it's one of the places that has that ye oldie thing.
Yes.
Like but it's actually the old because that Y is a thorn, which actually makes a th sound. So it's not ye oldie, it's the old. It always has been the old, even when it was ye oldie. So, yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. The aquarium is totally fun.
Yeah.
I would recommend going to that.
Sculpture Park.
Oh, get up to Volunteer Park, see the Black Hole Sun. A little sculpture that you can view the sun through. Asian History Museum is up there. Additionally, down on the water is the Seattle Great Wheel.
Yes.
Which you can hop on and get a great view. Hop on the Kurt Cobain water train that did not win that name. The water taxi. Come over to West Seattle. Okay. Say hi to us.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be at ZoeCon, but...
Yeah.
I mean...
come to West Seattle. See where Seattle actually started on Alki Beach.
Yep.
Seattle wasn't where Seattle is now. Seattle was where we are now.
In fact, Seattle used to have a booming waterfront called Luna Park that had rides. It was boardwalk, everything. It was awesome. Hot dogs, crazy, cotton candy, gangsters, all that shit. Gone now. There is a Luna Park Cafe, but last time I was there, I got a lot of hair in my food, so I'm not going back.
Yeah, and it has Ming the Merciless as their mascot.
It does have Ming the Merciless as their mascot, which is kind of weird. I love it.
Kind of cool, though.
Yeah. I'll get you a Flash Gordon.
He's very Ming in this. Yes. Paula also writes, what are your favorite monologues to use for auditions, dramatic and comedic?
I believe I went over mine before, but I'll talk about them again. My favorite dramatic monologue is from the Scottish play Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. Solid monologue, easy to remember. Everyone knows it, so it's all about your delivery, not necessarily the words coming out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite comedic monologue is In a Box from Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
Okay.
The whole thing about being dead in a box. You wouldn't know you were dead in a box.
Right.
Right.
You'd just be in a box.
Right. So.
I have one that I've used since 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Richmond's Oration to His Soldiers from Richard III. Other than that, I don't really have a favorite because...
Is that the nostrils flaring and sinews tight one? Or
No, that is the More Than I Have Said Loving Countrymen, right. The enforcement of the time. Blah, blah, blah. He's kind of rousing the...
Oh, captain, my captain.
It's the lesser St. Crispian's Day speech.
Right, exactly.
The much lesser.
Richard.
But not as known. And so now you get the whole gamut.
Right, exactly.
And for comedic monologues, I haven't really had to do one. I do like... there's a great one from Merchant of Venice, and I think it's Lorenzo, and he's talking about what he's going to call his father, and he has the angel and devil on his shoulder, and he's having a conversation with them through them, and so he speaks for the devil, he speaks for the angel, he speaks for himself, and that's a pretty good
one. That is awesome.
But contemporary stuff, the opening for... Dog Logic is one that I want to work on. Old hippie coming out of a garage talking about the Who, not Altamont, maybe it was Woodstock, and they throw the guitar out in the audience and you don't think about the guy that gets hit by the guitar, and he finishes the monologue and then he bends forward and parts his hair and he says that hurt because he's the guy that got hit by the guitar.
Right.
Yeah, they're, it's, yeah, you really got to tailor them.
You do. Have a few in your pocket anyway. That's because you can walk in and just know the room is not ready for one of them.
Yeah.
So if you have a few in your pocket at any given time, it's really handy. I used to have a one-sided version of pretty much all of Mr. Brown's lines from Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those are the Tarantino lines and they're you know, they pop really well because he wrote them for himself and he's a complete fucking narcissist.
Yeah.
So they pop really well. I had a few other, and that one's great because it can go either way.
Mm-hmm.
You can bend it serious if you want. It's mostly comedic because, I mean, you are talking about Madonna getting railed, but you can bend it serious a little bit too.
Yeah.
So
there's some good ones for men and women in Hurley Burley by David Rabe. Great contemporary one. I've done, some people call it cheating because I've already done it on stage, but Kent Markinson's speech. His letter to home to Santiago's parents. I've pulled one from Sins of the Mother. But try to find stuff that's not, I say, don't go for the popular stuff, because if everyone was going to be doing To Be or Not to Be, everyone would be blowing their brains out.
Right.
So try and find something that's popular and maybe a secondary character, or as we discussed in class, make sure that it has, the monologue has a beginning, middle, and end. Or at least a beginning and end, because there's sometimes where, hey, there's a whole paragraph, this is awesome, but everything that's pertinent to the beginning and the end of the paragraph is covered not in that monologue. So it's got to stand on its own.
I also say, look at tight dialogues.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can either cut out half of the dialogue, works perfectly, or you can read both sides of the dialogue as a monologue, and it takes on a whole new life.
Yeah.
A friend of mine used to do Doors Fan from Kids in the Hall. And it's a great fucking monologue, and it's a dialogue, but he included the dialogue pieces, and it made the guy, the fan, sound more fanatic.
Right, because it's you. You're asking yourself
and
the
he'd
questions
argue with
or whatever.
Yeah, he'd argue with himself. It's like he was having an internal, like, "Am I a fan?" And it was really, it was great. So, Highly recommend looking at dialogues. I would shy away from more than two people generally, unless it's a situation with like a devil on your shoulder.
Okay, I will. This is what not to do. Mm-hmm. Hand to God, true story. We're doing Journey Quest auditions.
Mm-hmm.
We set aside an entire day,
mm-hmm.
an entire casting day.
Mm-hmm.
Open call.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who wants to come out, so that we can have all the fans
mm-hmm.
come and audition. And the first guy out of the gate, I happen to be smart enough to look at him and say, we needs to do some talking. Young guy, nice enough.
Mm-hmm.
Go out front to have a cigarette. And he lays down for me what he's going to do for his audition piece. The opening 5 minutes to Serenity. All the characters with motion and action.
Mm-hmm.
And so I convinced him just to do the single mm-hmm. monologue about falling on your sword and good mm-hmm. day to die and get out of there in a minute 30. But yeah, don't do, and I say don't use films
mm-hmm.
for audition pieces, especially not theater. If you're auditioning for film, you can pull out a film one, but they shouldn't be doing that. They should be giving you sides. Right. But for theater, you show up and go, hey, I'm going to do a little something from Terms of Endearment. Mm-hmm. They're going to go next.
See, and like that's both of mine. My comedic ones were from film, but not really, because Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead was a stage play first.
Correct.
Tom Stoppard. Great play, and it was it was perfectly adapted to screen dialogue wise
by Tom Stoppard.
And then the one thing about Reservoir Dogs is it reads like a stage play.
Yes, in fact, it is a stage play.
Well, now, yeah, but I mean, you can use film if ... you understand the piece enough to know that it is applicable. Don't start out that way when you start auditioning. You know, now there are people who can do this, and I will not say that it's just you can't do this. People who bring in their own material as a monologue, usually no good. Reason being,
I will say you can't do that unless you're a professional
writer,
play writer.
Right. The reason being, you're introducing something to these people that they don't know. So now they are split attention between your performance and the material.
Mm-hmm.
And when you split that attention, you're not going to get the attention on your performance that you want. And they're probably going to say no, because they're not going to see your performance. They're going to be so caught up in, why would you even do this? You know,
unless you're a local actor / producer for Glitch.
Yeah.
And you write your own. But you don't tell anyone you wrote it your own, and you just say, oh, it's this little play called blah, 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 and be done with it. And don't mention the playwright, don't mention the character, don't mention anything else. It's just this little play from the 60s called blah, and go.
Yep.
Then, okay, but don't come in. Well, I wrote this piece. It's perfect because I understand the pathos that you're going for.
Yeah, no.
And then that's not going
to
work.
Yeah. Again, there are exceptions to the rule. There always will be, you know.
Yeah.
A good example of an exception to the rule is I saw a very, very powerful monologue from Glengarry Glen Ross come in from the movie version of Glengarry Glen Ross. I knew it was the movie because...
Was it the Alec Baldwin part?
It was the Alec Baldwin part.
That's the only one they wrote for the movie.
Exactly. And it was perfect. And I mean, it was perfect for what we wanted and everything.
Yeah.
And it was great. And that was a good call, but a risky one. Because even that monologue is risky.
Yes. And I'll just say this. Alec Baldwin had 3 days to memorize that. It was written for him, and he got an Oscar.
Yep.
So, don't use that one. You're not Alec Baldwin, and neither am I.
This was Alec Baldwin. No, it wasn't.
Really?
No, it was Stephen Baldwin.
Is he going to be in Journey Quest 3?
No.
Oh.
No. That would be great.
Would be. Well... We almost made an hour despite our...
Did we?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, we're at 58 plus the music.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus, it's hot.
It is. So, Neil deGrasse Tyson...
If you're listening, I love Cosmos.
Yeah, and you want to explain why the heat death of the universe isn't happening right now.
Yes, or...
This room is full of entropy. And irony.
Entropy and irony.